We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joining me shortly is Chris Biederman. And we're going to talk about the 49ers running backs today. We covered the quarterbacks. If you want to go listen to that, go ahead and jump back one in the feed. And we talked about the quarterbacks. We will now break down the running back roster going into training camp, which is set to start on July 26th. That was announced on Thursday, the day we're recording this. So let's dive in.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Has got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
I changed up the intro a little bit and it threw me off.
You didn't say where you write for.
Yeah, because I figured anybody listening to this pod probably knows by now.
Yeah, you are pretty famous.
Right. And that's what I figured. Like, I've reached a point of fame that I don't need to, like, tell people. Like, people just know.
Right. It's just assumed. It's like, oh, yeah, that's Kyle Madsen. He writes about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com.
Yeah, it came. But, yeah. I don't know. I changed it up. I don't like it. I'm going to go back to the old one. And that's how it's going to be moving forward.
Okay, I'm sure the audience is thrilled to know.
Yeah. 49ers training camp going to open July 26th. At least that's the day that rookies and veterans both report a couple weeks before the preseason opener. Any takes before we dive into the running back group?
Any takes about the start date?
Yeah.
It's just over a month from now.
Great point. Subscribe, rate, review for more analysis. All right, let's talk about the running backs.
Yeah, let's do it.
I feel like running back this year is, and we're going to do the same way we did with the quarterbacks. We're going to go down the roster and just kind of look and see what the most interesting part of the roster, that specific position is, any position battles that are formulating, and then whether the depth of the position is good or bad. I think the 49ers running backs this year, the most interesting thing to me going in is I think they're going to get used a lot. I think the Niners are going to run it more than they have in the past with Trey Lance under center. I think the passing game is going to look different, but I think they're going to run the hell out of the ball. And I don't think we're going to see a, I guess this is what interests me is I don't know if we're going to see like an Elijah Mitchell RB1 carrying it 20, 25, 30 times a game. Or if we see Ty Davis Price take some of that workload. What does Trey Sermon do? I mean, there's a bunch of different angles off of that, but I think that's the most interesting thing to me is do they go back to more of a running back by committee?
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to. And I think my initial take just on the position as a whole is it's one of the most talented groups I think they've had since Kyle Shanahan's been there. And that's, you know, that's not nothing. Like they've had some good groups. When you look at, you know, 2019, the Super Bowl team, it was Raheem Mostert, Matt Breida, and Tevin Coleman. I just think in terms of pure talent, when you look at Elijah Mitchell, who I think is probably one of the 10 or 15 best halfbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. Tyrion Davis Price is somebody who they like a lot. And I think I like a little bit more just than the consensus. I know everybody talks about value and taking him in the third round. But I think given how much the 49ers have struggled in short yardage in recent seasons, I think Ty Davis Price could be a really big help to them, even if he's not getting, you know, 15 carries a game, and maybe he will. But Jeff Wilson Jr. potentially being healthy could be a really nice development for them. And we've seen him have big games, and I always think about that 3-touchdown game he had in New England in 2020. And he's dealt with injuries, but at least you have a little bit more depth there than I think you've had in recent seasons. Jamichael Hasty, third down back, fine. Right. And then, you know, Jordan Mason, undrafted rookie from Georgia Tech, probably somebody that is most likely avenue is the practice squad. And Trey Sermon,
he's fascinating, dude.
Yeah, Trey Sermon, it could go a couple different ways with him. It could go, okay, Trey Sermon has a bounce back year two after struggling to get on the field in year one because he wasn't necessarily super decisive, and he also dealt with injuries early in the season that kind of derailed his development. But what's most interesting to me, so like, I do think there's talent there. There's plenty of talent there. What's most interesting to me is the Niners running back core isn't like the speedy running back core that we're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I wonder, we talked so much about what the offense in that previous podcast, what the offense is going to look like with Trey Lance at quarterback. I think it's going to be a much different style of running game, where it's going to be a lot more between the tackles, a lot fewer outside zone runs. I think you're still going to see that with Elijah Mitchell in particular, but this is going to be a physical running team, not necessarily a just a purely outside zone, you know, wide running team. I think they're going to have those elements, but, you know, Ty Davis Price, just under 4.5. Elijah Mitchell's obviously fast, but Trey Sermon's what, 4.5, 4.6. Jeff Wilson, 4.5, 4.6. You know, it's not the Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert group. It's very different. Like, that group was really all about speed and I guess finesse, but like, you can, I think this group is going to just be more physical, maybe more durable, and better in short yardage. And I think Kyle Shanahan has a very distinct idea of what he wants the running game to look like with Trey Lance in the backfield. And I think he's going to incorporate Trey Lance in the running game. I don't think Trey Lance is going to be a focal point like he was, particularly in his first start against Arizona last year. But I think the running back group is good. And it's what's most interesting to me about it is it just has a very different look in terms of, you know, bigger, more physical than in the past when it was all predicated about speed. I mean, Ty Davis Price, I'm looking on the 49ers website, at the roster, he's listed at 219. Jordan Mason's 223, the undrafted rookie. Elijah Mitchell's listed at 200. He's probably closer to 205 or 210 at this point. Trey Sermon's 215. Jeff Wilson Jr.'s 213. Like, you know, these aren't 190, 195 pound guys who are super fast like we've been used to. These are bigger backs. And I think it's going to reflect in terms of the play calling and the power running scheme and running between the tackles and those things.
To type of backfield or the type of run game that travels in January.
Right.
I know that's super cliche, but we saw it against Dallas. We saw it against Green Bay. We saw it less against the Rams because I think the Rams, you know, you're seeing a team for the third time.
But then, I think that second and one and third and one before, you know, they punted, like we've talked about that as a huge sequence in that game.
Right.
And Elijah Mitchell, as good as he was, he's not the ideal short yardage back. And so I think the 49ers are going to be in a better position to convert short yardage situations this year because of the talent they have in the backfield.
Yeah. I'm fascinated that Jeff Wilson Jr. didn't get a look there, but that's it's interesting for sure. And then what is it even? And I guess this leads to the second kind of layer here is any position battles. It feels like the entire group it's like Elijah Mitchell is, if Elijah Mitchell is RB1, I think they definitely want to take some of the load off of him, which means it's Ty Davis Price. It's Sermon and Wilson and Hasty and Mason. trying to get carries, like just trying to work their way into a role where they're either spelling Mitchell or they're the third down back, because like God love Jamichael Hasty, but they could get better on third down at that position. If you're going to have a specified third down running back, I think you'd probably want somebody different than Jamichael Hasty, ideally.
Yeah. And one thing we know about Kyle Shanahan's offense too, or at least a characteristic of his team since he's been here, has been that his running backs get hurt. They haven't had anybody with more than 240 carries in a season at running back. And that was Carlos Hyde in 2017, a guy who Kyle Shanahan didn't view as a long-term fit with the team, obviously, because they didn't bring him back. So, you know, you go down the list, it goes like 150, 200, 214, like over the next four seasons, like guys aren't getting a ton of carries over an entire year because of all the injuries that they're dealing with. So that's why, like, I think it is justifiable if they really liked Ty Davis Price to take him in the third round. And you know, like,
sure,
the one of the interesting things about the roster battle is, you know, typically they only have three halfbacks up on game day. And so, you know, to me, it looks like that's Elijah Mitchell, it's Ty Davis Price, and then Jeff Wilson Jr. You know, if Trey Sermon's not active on game days, it's not a great reflection of, one, the draft pick, and two, the development of Trey Sermon, right? And like, that's not to point blame at anyone in particular, because there's a lot that goes into players not producing after being high draft picks, but you know, that's going to be viewed as a miss, and it might already be viewed as a miss. And I think, you know, after he struggled in his rookie season, I think that's fair. And the fact that they felt like they needed to take Ty Davis Price, it's not exactly a ringing endorsement of Trey Sermon, right? So, but if you want to look at it on the rosier side of things, you could say, all right, well, they have four pretty talented and or capable halfbacks, maybe five actually,
right,
if you want to include Hasty, who got a lot of playing time last year, particularly on third downs. Like, you could say they do have more depth and they're maybe better able to withstand injuries this season than they were in previous years. And I think that was a clear focus, because Kyle Shanahan's offense looks dramatically different when they can't run the ball effectively. And with Trey Lance, it's going to be really important that they do, because it's going to set up everything that they want to do schematically.
When you talk about them having five capable running backs, I think that's the most interesting part of the roster to me, is nobody really does anything super different. They're all similar styles of backs. And I think the Niners are just going to try and figure out who the three most capable running backs are and just go from there. But with the amount of injuries they've sustained at that position, I think having an extra capable player on the roster is valuable. Like, I don't think it's a waste of a roster spot if you just have Jeff Wilson Jr. inactive on game days, because Mitchell and Sermon and Davis Price are the three guys. Do you think that Trey Sermon specifically, we talked about this a little bit last year, do you think he was drafted more to play in the offense that Trey Lance is going to run?
Yeah, I think so, because he was so much different than the other running backs that they've had. And I do think, you know, there was a lot of shotgun running for him at Ohio State. I didn't watch him nearly as much when he was at Oklahoma, but it seemed to me that he was most comfortable running out of shotgun. So that's something that the 49ers are going to do a lot with Trey Lance. So that does make sense. It's just odd to me. And this, you know, I guess this goes back to the draft discussion, but like, a team that's so good, or not even a team, just a group of people that have been so good for so long at identifying running backs, either late in the draft and or after the draft, it's wild to me that they just don't like hit home runs if they draft a running back early. Right? Because like, you would think they really know what they're looking for. And if they find that guy and they're willing to invest an early draft pick on him, given their history, they would have a ton of conviction and
right,
and be good at identifying those guys. But to miss on, you know, Joe Williams, which was, I mean, it was very risky at the time, given all the off the field stuff and all the questions about his commitment to football, which proved to be very true. That seemed risky. Trey Sermon, I don't know. I mean, I liked him. I liked him as a prospect, but it was...
Yeah, it made sense. The pick made sense.
It made sense. And even in training camp, it was Raheem Mostert getting the majority of first team runs. And then Trey Sermon was getting, was really second on the depth chart, it appeared early on in training camp. And then eventually just kind of lost the job to Elijah Mitchell. And then he got hurt early in the year, that week two game against Philadelphia, that scary concussion. And he wasn't as decisive as I think the 49ers would have liked. We know Kyle Shanahan loves guys to just hit the hole as hard as they can and make that first cut as hard as they can. And Sermon danced a little bit. And I think that was one of the issues that they had with Carlos Hyde too, and the reason they didn't bring him back. So, you know, I can't really pinpoint exactly what the issue was with Trey Sermon, aside from just maybe that lack of decisiveness that Kyle Shanahan really prefers. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because there's no guarantee that Trey Sermon makes the team.
Yeah.
Right.
Man.
Like that would be,
I guess not.
That would be a bad look for all parties involved, but like it's certainly not guaranteed, because
and if you think we haven't talked about
Kyle Juszczyk at all, but like they're going to have four running backs up on most game days, I would think,
including Kyle Juszczyk.
So that's
right,
that's three halfback and Juszczyk. So you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Trey Sermon this year, not only because of how he performed last year, but the fact that they did add Ty Davis Price, who has sort of a similar bigger back skill set, and it'll be interesting to see, there's, you know, how does he respond? And I think we're going to learn early on how Trey Sermon responds in training camp. Like if Trey Sermon comes out, and I know it's a little bit difficult to judge running backs in training camp, but if he is tentative and he isn't hitting the hole hard, I don't think Kyle Shanahan's going to have much patience for it, right? Like I think Kyle Shanahan's going into this with his eyes open, understanding that, like, man, if Trey Sermon doesn't really take it up to a different level, we have other guys. Like Jeff Wilson has proven to be that kind of player. Ty Davis Price is somebody they're not going to cut in his first training camp. And Elijah Mitchell, like I said, could be one of the better backs in the league. So yeah, there's no guarantee that Trey Sermon makes the team.
I wonder too, if they're going with bigger backs, A, to try and stay healthier, B, because of that short yardage issue we talked about, but also Shanahan's just so good at creating mismatches that I don't think you necessarily need breakaway speed to create big plays in their offense. Right. Like if you get Ty Davis Price, he runs like he did in the second half of last year for LSU. If you get Ty Davis Price running one-on-one with a safety, if he's not outrunning him, he can probably break that tackle and still generate a big play if he's a one-on-one with a safety in space. So I think that it's interesting, the shift from lighter backs to bigger backs. I think the short yardage issue, easy for me to say, is definitely a problem. But I also think Shanahan's looking at it and saying, we can still generate big plays. It might not be an 85-yard touchdown run, but there's still plenty on the bone there as far as chunk plays on the ground where they can get 18, 20, 25 yards.
Right. And if you're a 4.48 running back, like you can still score a 40-yard touchdown.
Right.
Like that can still happen.
That's not correct. They're not slow. They're just not, you know, not track speed.
Not blazers.
Hey, how much do you think the Ty Davis Price pick had to do with getting Debo out of the running back role?
I think part of it, like I think overall there's probably a philosophy shift in Kyle Shanahan's mind that like ideally we would have enough running backs that we don't need to utilize Debo Samuel out of the backfield like they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's pretty real. And look, if, you know, we mentioned the injury stuff, like Elijah Mitchell was hurt. He was their best running back. Raheem Mostert entered the year as their number one running back. He went down week one with a knee injury and he was lost for the season.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Trey Sermon having the concussion issue. in week two and then struggling to really find a rhythm at any point through the rest of the year. Like, a significant reason Deebo Samuel was used as a running back was because the 49ers needed him to be a running back at certain points.
Right.
And, you know, he was super effective at it, which certainly didn't hurt, but like, it wasn't, if like, I don't think Deebo Samuel would have been used out of the backfield as much as he was had the 49ers not been so injured at the running back spot. And they also missed Jeff Wilson Jr., you know, for the first however many games of the season coming off the MCL tear he had over the summer.
So Jeff Wilson Jr. is fascinating to me because his role was so weird last year. So you mentioned he tore his meniscus in OTAs.
Meniscus, right? Not MCL. My mistake.
He tore his meniscus in OTAs. He comes back in week 10 and carries the ball 10 times. Then in week 11 with Elijah Mitchell out against Jacksonville, he gets the start and runs it 19 times. Elijah Mitchell is back against Minnesota and Seattle. In those two games, Wilson gets two carries combined. Then he starts the next three. And over those three games with Mitchell out, he gets 48 carries. And then Mitchell comes back and he goes no carries the final 2 weeks and none in the playoffs. So when Elijah Mitchell was on the field, Jeff Wilson Jr. was persona non grata, if I used that correctly. I hope I did. It's the first time I've ever said it in my life, so fingers crossed.
I'll give you an 8 out of 10 on it.
Thanks, man. So I just Latin experts, let me know. But no, I don't know if the Niners even like him. Like, they brought him back, but when Mitchell was healthy last year, he just didn't play, and it's weird.
One of the weird parts about my job is like, I'll get hit up by, you know, fantasy shows to go on and talk about fantasy things. And they're like, all right, who's the Niners running back leading rusher going to be this season? And I just, I'm on the phone, but I'm like throwing my hands up. I'm like, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Like, right.
Because it's been a different guy every single season. Like, they've had a every different leading rusher every single season Kyle Shanahan's been here. Yeah. And to your point, going back through last year, like week to week, it's always a different guy, and it's dependent on health and dependent on matchups and whoever the hot hand is. And so that's one of the sort of confounding things about Kyle Shanahan, in that he loves to run the ball. And you know that going into a game, if you're a defensive coordinator and you're playing against him, but it's really hard to handicap who the running back is going to be in any given week. So I think that's sort of why the 49ers have more numbers, or approaching it with a more heavy investment into their running back room than they have really, I think, since Kyle Shanahan's been there, because they just want to have options and then see what sticks during the season and see who's playing well and who's hurt and, what the matchup's going to be. And that's such a big part of it for Kyle Shanahan, is just to evaluate all the factors involved going into each game, not just having a depth chart that he sticks to. Right. Like, so, right. So often we think of like, all right, who's the starter, who's the backup, who's the third down guy.
Right.
Like, Kyle Shanahan doesn't operate that way when it comes to running backs. He operates in like evaluating everything else. What's the matchup? Who's healthiest? Who's running well? Like, all of those things. And so it makes it really difficult from an outsider's perspective to really peg like what the running back situation is going to look like in any given week. And so that's why they have so many more numbers this year, because they know, like, we just need to have as many options as possible so we can try to maximize whatever we can, because we know, if anything, we know that they're just going to run the hell out of the ball, and whoever gets the carries, I mean, that's the big question.
All right. Is the depth good or bad at running back? I think it's probably good.
I think
my take is that it's good.
Yeah. I mean, let's just say Elijah Mitchell's
more complete than it was last year.
Yeah. Let's just say Elijah Mitchell's the top guy, presumably. Okay. And then tight end is Price. don't aggregate that. I'm just speculating. and then say Ty Davis Price is the secondary guy. And then, you know, Jeff Wilson Jr. is the third. And then say Trey Sermon and Jamichael Hasty are inactive, or you know, say you're in a position where you could have four halfbacks available. Like, I do think this is the deepest group that they've had, barring injury, of course. Because look, like Tevin Coleman was always banged up during his time with the 49ers. Raheem Mostert got hurt a lot. He practiced with a giant knee brace. Like, his knee was always an issue.
Well, don't talk about that.
Yeah. Catch the ire of our guy, Raheem. Super nice guy, by the way, but that was an odd situation.
Really?
And then, yeah, I just think, like, with what Ty Davis Price could be, like, I just think it's very promising, just the overall depth of the group and particularly the combination, I think, of Mitchell and Ty Davis Price. Like, I think they complement each other well. And if they're healthy, and if Ty Davis Price maximizes what he could be in this offense, I think it could be a pretty scary 1-2 combination for them.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, Davis Price, we talk about the short yardage stuff, but when you start watching him, it's actually our guy, Eric Crocker from Locked On 49ers with him and Brian Peacock. He was talking about Ty Davis Price, and I'd watched a little after they had drafted him, but I was just of the mind that, like, dude, if you're taking another running back in the third round, that's bad business. Like, that's, they shouldn't do that. But then you start watching him, you watch him against like Florida and Alabama, and it's like, man, these are SEC defenses. Not that Florida was great last year, but these are SEC defenses. And he is railroading guys and running past guys and juking guys. He just looked like a really, really good player. And I'm wondering if they view him as like, hey, it's going to be 15, ideally 15 carries for him, 15 for Elijah Mitchell, where they're for the most part splitting the work, where Davis Price can be more than just a third down or short yardage guy. And he's actually a productive running back for them. That super wouldn't surprise me if we come out of this year, like, oh, they have a real 1-2, like 1-2 punch in the backfield.
What's kind of crazy to me, and we've touched on it in earlier episodes before, like, the Niners were the best red zone team in the league by percentage last year, yet they weren't great in short yardage runs, particularly on like fourth down, right? Like, that's always been kind of a bugaboo for Kyle Shanahan, is like fourth and one. You don't really feel confident in that scenario watching this 49ers team over the last few years. Like, so they were a very, like, one of the best, if not the best, red zone offenses in the league. Yet they had a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo who statistically was not great in the red zone. And they had a running game that you didn't really trust in short yardage situations. Like, so what could the ceiling of this offense be with improved quarterback play in the red zone and improved play in short yardage? Right? Like, you know, their best short yardage play was a Jimmy Garoppolo quarterback sneak. And more than likely, Garoppolo is not going to be available to do that. Although maybe they keep Jimmy Garoppolo as a QB sneak specialist this year. We'll see. But that was a joke. But I just think overall, like, what one of the things that's going to be really important for the 49ers offense this year is just how good they are in short yardage. And they should be really good based on having Trey Lance and having an improved and more physical running back group. Because as good as Elijah Mitchell was, he wasn't, it never felt like he was the dude that, like, is going to get you 1 yard against a 10-man box. It was always like, Mitchell is really explosive and could spring some runs, but he wasn't the guy that's going to grind out that yard for you. And I think we saw that in the playoffs.
Yeah, they gave it to Kyle Juszczyk and Deebo Samuel in those big spots.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to talk about Juszczyk since technically he is a running back.
Good player.
Really good player.
All right, moving on.
Really good player. Is he okay? Is Kyle Juszczyk a dude?
Oh man, we got a suggestion on Twitter to do the NFC West's all dude team, and we're doing that for sure. We're duding that for sure. That's happening. So shout out to, I don't have the tweet up and I'm not going to go search for it, but we will shout out the Twitter user that gave us that idea when we do it. But yeah, Kyle Juszczyk's a dude. One of my lasting memories of him is, I think it was in 2018. There was a play where he caught a slant on like a third and short, and he split out into the slot and caught a slant and got the first down. And Kyle Shanahan was mic'd up for that game. And he just looks at one of his coaches after that play and goes, Juice is a baller. That's what he is. Yeah. He's just a baller, dude. I'm a big Kyle Juszczyk guy. He's a dude for sure.
I mean, if you go to six Pro Bowls and you're like widely regarded as the best guy at your position in the league, I think you're a dude.
You're a dude. And he just, what he does for their offense, like there's a reason they pay him like a tight end. Because he can do all the stuff a move tight end can do, but he can also just lead block out of the eye. Like there's just not a ton of players who have that skill set in their bag.
I'm glad he's good enough to where we don't have to relitigate his contract. Like it's a thing.
Well, we don't.
Right. Well, there other people seem to love to look at Kyle Juszczyk's contract.
Yeah, but
like,
no,
they're paying a fullback. It's like if that is your criticism of the 49ers, then you do not watch their offense.
Right. He's a backup tight end.
Yeah,
or he operates as a tight end, so they pay him like a backup tight end. Like that's
very valuable to the offense, and if you look at value relative to contract, I think it lines up.
Well, and could Kyle Shanahan, if Kyle Juszczyk today said, "I'm retiring from football," could Kyle Shanahan create a good offense? Like, yeah, for sure. But with this specific offense that they run, he's just invaluable, and what they can do with 21 personnel. And make it look different, make their offense look different with that same personnel group on the field, make four different plays look the same or look different. Like it just, what's the word I'm looking for here? The variance, the
malleability,
the not malleability. That's a good word. Versatility is another good word. The deception that Kyle Juszczyk allows Kyle Shanahan to employ is a big reason they've had a ton of success on offense.
So at the 2019 owners meetings in Arizona at that breakfast where all the coaches are hungover and they have to talk to the media for like half an hour at like 7 a.m. I don't know why they do that, but
it's brutal.
It's really funny. But at the, I asked Kyle Shanahan specifically about fullback and why Kyle Juszczyk is so important. And basically what he laid out was that if you have a good fullback who's capable of winning one-on-ones in the pass game against linebackers and potentially safeties, like you're able to dictate terms to the defense you're going against, because with a fullback who's also a good blocker, obviously you can run the ball and you can do that effectively. You could utilize play action and have an eligible receiver who is capable of winning his matchups. And you have the deception like you're talking about. Like you have so much versatility that you can dictate terms, and there's no real winning in terms of, you know, whether a defense goes with base, with three linebackers, or with nickel, with two linebackers and an extra defensive back, when you have a fullback capable of beating linebackers or safeties, whether it's against the run or the pass. Like that's
right.
That is an inherent characteristic of Kyle Shanahan's offense. And that's what makes Kyle Juszczyk so valuable. So yeah, like you can miss me with like paying Kyle Juszczyk $5 million a year is like this big waste of money, because if that's your take, then you're just regurgitating someone else's like fullbacks don't matter take, because nobody utilizes a fullback. And it's pretty clear that you don't understand the value of what's happening when Kyle Shanahan is running an offense with Kyle Juszczyk in it.
Do you think anybody listening to this podcast is like, they overpaid Kyle Juszczyk? I don't think anybody listening to this podcast does.
Probably not. But those people are out there.
They definitely are. Yeah. Prominent on prominent websites. Anything else on the running backs?
No, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay, great. We got receivers coming up, tight ends. We'll do offensive line. We'll do dives into each position. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Candlestick Chronicles. Subscribe, rate, review. Those subscriptions are really, really great for us. So if you have a friend who's a Niner fan, tell him to subscribe, get him into the show, get him out on the inside jokes.
Rumor has it there might be another event coming up. Kyle Juszczyk also came on the podcast once.
That's a really good point. Friend of the show.
We're talking about like whether or not he's a dude, like it certainly
doesn't. You're on the show, you're a dude. Yeah. If you're on the show, you're a dude. Shout out Tabor Pepper.
Shouts to Tabor.
All right, everybody. Thanks.